and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 3, episode 34. Thomas Pokornik, Thomas Coburn, and producer Paolo Gismondi here on a beautiful American Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Coburn, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I realized that Thanksgiving starts Thursday officially in the U.S., correct?
I don't know. It's just Thursday, I think. I don't think it's like Canada where it's like a whole weekend.
They don't have to go to work the next day, do they?
Yeah. But I don't know. Is that still considered Thanksgiving?
It's the weekend.
Are we doing a Thanksgiving draft today, or is that not in the cards?
No, I don't think so. Not in this show. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
We just overused that segment.
Did we do it twice?
I feel like last year we did some sort of different themed Thanksgiving draft. Not food, but something else.
Who knows?
We should draft holidays, I think. And American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving are separate. And I just want to get your take on this before we jump in. What would you take first?
I'd take American Thanksgiving. In Canada's too early. And the weather sometimes, like, I don't like a Thanksgiving where it's like hot outside. I like the cold when it's Thanksgiving. So give tip of the cap to the Americans. I think they do it right.
I think that's where we differ in opinion. I love the weather for Canadian Thanksgiving, but I think the time of the year, I like how it's a little bit closer to Christmas. So I can't have my cake and eat it too. So I'm just stuck in, I don't know, I can't decide. But let's get into the games. We got 3 games on Thanksgiving as always. Starting off with your Lions and Bears. We also got the Raiders and Cowboys and the Bills and Saints at night. I think I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This is the first time in a long time where there wasn't one game where I was like genuinely super excited for on Thanksgiving.
Well, for some reason, there's the tradition that the Lions play every Thanksgiving.
Recently, they've been playing the Bears. I want to say like last year they played the Texans.
Yeah, last year they played the Texans. Matt Patricia got fired after the Thanksgiving. What a Thanksgiving gift. They played the Bears the year before that too. I don't know, but this whole slate of games is, you know what, that the Cowboys game has an opportunity to be pretty entertaining. Saints and Bills, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I think it's overall, it is a extremely underwhelming slate of Thanksgiving games.
To me, the Saints are almost like borderline unwatchable right now with... This is crazy to say because Jameis Winston isn't an elite quarterback by any means. But without Jameis Winston, when you're reserved to, you know, Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill, the $90 million man coming in on the odd play. So, I don't know. They've really been struggling recently, but the Bills have been struggling too. And all six of these teams lost last week and they all got blown out. Or quite a few of them did. So... it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, they can get their act together and we can have a good round of games. And we'll see some turkey-like candidates for sure by the end of the night.
Okay, wait. Instead of talking about the games, let's pick the turkey leg winners of each game.
I think that's fair. Okay, Bears and Lions. Is Jared Goff going to be even playing? I think I read that there's a chance he suits up.
There's a chance. Yeah, they're both practicing like they're going to play. Who cares? I think the turkey leg is, maybe it's a Darnell Mooney. Maybe Darnell Mooney wins the turkey leg.
I'm going to say it's DeAndre Swift. This is my take. Last year, Patricia got fired on Thanksgiving. I think Matt Nagy's getting fired on Thanksgiving. The Bears have never made a coaching change within a season. I think that's bound to change soon. So I'm going to say the Lions win. Spice it up a little bit.
I'd like to see it. Now that we've almost locked up the number one pick because the Texans won, I'd like to see a win here. So I'll take a win against the Bears on Thanksgiving. Raiders, Cowboys, who wins? The leg,
not the game. This is a hot take. I'm going to say CeeDee Lamb. And I think it's the NFL's concussion protocols are an absolute joke. The fact that this guy was back on Monday in his meetings and it sounds like he's going to play. Najee Harris took one of the hardest hits I've ever seen on Sunday Night Football right to the head. And he missed maybe 30 seconds of game time. So, yeah, CeeDee Lamb's going to win the turkey leg, even though I don't even know if he should be playing.
I'm going to go chalk. I think it's Dak. Dak's going to get the turkey leg because CeeDee Lamb's not going to play. Or if he plays, he'll play like 5-10 snaps. Maybe watch. He's going to win the turkey leg now that I said that.
All right, Bills and Saints.
Who cares?
Okay, I think is it boring to say Josh Allen if you said, you know, I'm going to go defensive side of the ball. I'm going to say Micah Hyde, safety. He's had a really good season. I think Trevor Siemian threw what, three picks a week ago? He threw a couple. I'm going to say Micah Hyde. Bill's defense shows up.
So I have an interesting take quick on this game. I think this is potential upset. I think I was about to say Sunday night football. It's Thursday night football, but you know, it's like, it's a bigger Thursday night football than normal because it's Thanksgiving. Saints at home, turkey leg, because I think Kamara is in doubt for tomorrow. Is he playing?
Yeah. It's not like the practicing is still like
limited.
DNPs and then.
Right. So Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram is a turkey leg winner. Yeah,
that's at least a fun answer.
I'll
give you some credit for that. All right, those are turkey leg winners for Thanksgiving. We'll jump right into the Sunday games, kicking it off with the. We're already into the show, and it's already candidate up. I'm not watching. Oh my gosh, the first two games might be in that alley. The Falcons and Jaguars. You know what? We'll bundle the first two games together. We got the Falcons and the Jaguars on one side, and then we have the Jets and the Texans. What a way to start the 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Quick thoughts, because really, like. I really mean this. Who cares? I'll watch a bit of the Texans game because of fantasy interest. I think the Falcons maybe bounce back, and I don't know. I kind of like that -1, to be honest. But God, Jets and Texans, that's a rough watch.
Hey, that's got some interesting storylines too. Zach Wilson's back. The Texans are -3. That kind of feels like quite a bit. I don't know. But hey, the Texans are coming off a big, big win. So... But like you said, who cares? These are four of the six worst teams in the NFL. What are they really? These are the games that if you win, you're kicking yourself come April, saying, "Why did we beat the Jets? Yeah. Now we got a higher pick, or now they're picking ahead of us in the draft." So these teams, be careful this Sunday. I'll say that.
Except for the Falcons, because their Super Bowl window is still open. Don't sleep on those.
Depending on who you ask, it is.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think they have to be due for a bounce back. Their offense the last two games has been terrible. What better way to get it going against Jacksonville, who the 49ers absolutely ripped through a week ago. But we'll move on. The number one seed in the AFC, the Tennessee Titans, are 6.5-point underdogs in New England. What the heck is going on in this league?
When did you ever see that?
Number one seed, 6.5-point underdogs.
Against a rookie quarterback whose number one receiver is who's considered their number one?
Hunter Henry in reality, but yeah.
Yeah. That seems like an absurd amount of points.
It does. And I think everyone's running away with this narrative that New England's gonna go on to win the Super Bowl again. I think they're a good team, but and let's be honest, I keep saying, oh, the number one seed. Ask anyone, are the Titans really the best team in the AFC? No, but at the same time, you have to give them some credit. They only have three losses all season. Happens two of those are against the Jets and the Texans, which is crazy weird. I think they're 7-0 against teams that made the playoffs a year ago.
And you know what? Like, even you got to give them, listen, nobody hates Titans more than me, but you got to give them a little bit of a pass last week. I don't know if you saw, but it was just pouring rain. Like, yeah, you should still beat that Texans team. But listen, I've been saying it for a while. Tyrod Taylor has been playing in the games he's played. He's playing great, except for the game against that vaunted Miami Dolphins defense.
Yeah. And honestly, who plays well against this Miami defense anymore? We're red hot.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's, The Titans need to get their act together, and I think this is a chance for them to show that they're not as bad as we all think after a tough performance a week ago, especially because the media has never been this high on New England since Tom Brady was in town, especially because they played on primetime a week ago. They were so efficient on offense. The defense came away with four turnovers. But in New England, it's a tough place to play, but they are red hot right now. They won 5 in a row.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are going to be on the Titans on that. That's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. But we'll move on. We'll go Panthers and Dolphins. Cam Newton coming into Miami. Panthers are 2-point favorites. Dolphins have won 3 in a row, though. So,
first pick. I have first pick of the spreads this week. I'll just let you know. There's about a 99% chance I'm taking the Dolphins here.
So I always take the Dolphins every week. Doesn't matter.
I mean, at home. Like
I'm glad you're saying this, though, because this is encouraging that you are also surprised. I would have said that this is maybe a pick'em, because I am a little worried about Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey and us slowing him down. And the offense hasn't really gotten going still, but we'll see.
I mean, Cam looked okay. He had some flashes, but then there was also some ugly moments too. I think I said it last week on the show. I said Cam's going to have a really good game and then he's going to fall off a cliff. Well, here it is. He had a really good game against Washington and now it all falls apart against Miami. It's in Miami too. I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of trap line by Vegas, but I love the Dolphins. I don't think you're saying you're worried about McCaffrey and Cam Newton. Sure. But I mean, the defense has been playing so well. I think they'll be able to slow them down. And there's no way you don't get one or two turnovers in this game.
I mean, that's got to be the hope. But another thing that could be encouraging for Miami is Will Fuller and Devontae Parker could be back, which would just be absolutely huge because Carolina has a pretty, pretty solid defense. They got, Stephon Gilmore in the secondary and a great front seven. And I think that's something I'm worried about too, because the Miami offensive line, probably the worst unit in the league. Credit to Tua, though. He takes far less sacks. I don't know how he does it. But when he's back there, he's not taking a lot of sacks, whereas when they had Jacoby Brissett, it was really hurting them. But, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, as a fan, and I feel I was biased, and that's why I said it's kind of encouraging to hear from you. I thought that – I was a little surprised when the Panthers were favored. But I think similar to the whole New England situation where everyone's just – viewing them as some juggernaut right now, and they are a good team. But the Panthers also have, I think, a little bit of fool's gold in them right now, just with all the Cam Newton returning hype. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a really close game.
And it's like they lost last week. They didn't even win.
Yeah.
So this momentum is just off a couple Cam Newton runs. Like
all he has to do is yell, "I'm back," after one touchdown. Did you see his entrance last week?
Yeah. I've had enough of him.
WWE.
I've had enough of Cam. I never really had a big opinion on him. Enough already. If you're not playing well, you can't be doing this stuff. And give him credit. At least he played decent against Washington. But I'm rooting for Miami this weekend. Take him out.
Love to hear it. I know you said we're bound to get a couple turnovers. He didn't turn the ball over against Washington. So maybe that's why you're saying we're even more likely to get them, because he is due. But we'll move on. We got a divisional matchup. The Eagles against the Giants. I don't know if you know this, but the Eagles are going to make the playoffs.
It's one of the most surprising storylines. Like,
can I tell you who they play the rest of the season?
Yeah, you can. I have it pulled up too.
Giants twice. They play Washington twice. They play the Jets and they play the Cowboys. So they have, what is that, 5 divisional games left?
Yeah.
Like, you got to think they're at least going to win 3 of those games.
100%. Going into this season, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, I definitely just thought into my head. If you had said who were going to be the two, who's picking 1 and 2 at the start of this or at the end of the year, I would have said the Lions at 1 and the Eagles at 2. I thought that they were going to be the second worst team. And here they are. I'd say it's more than likely they end up in the wild card. If you look at their schedule and you just kind of take into account how well they've been playing, that offense has just done a complete 180. It was inept earlier on, and now all of a sudden it's like the running game's going. Jalen Hurts is playing fantastic. Unreal by the Eagles.
What impresses me about the Eagles, going into the season, I knew Jalen Hurts had a lot of talent. I was worried about turnovers and decision-making and stuff like that comes with having a really young quarterback. But they've sort of discovered an identity in recent weeks. They're not throwing the ball a lot at all. Jalen Hurts is barely dropping back and throwing the ball down the field. But they're running 2-3 running backs. Jalen Hurts is moving. I think he ran over 15 times last week. The defense is playing amazing. Darius Slay, I know this is going to hurt for you to hear, is a defensive player of the year candidate right now. And their offensive line has been awesome. So they're like a 49ers junior, I think. Like, they don't have the talent that the 49ers have, but they're kind of playing the same brand. If anything, they're a little bit more exciting on offense because Jalen Hurts has that added dimension where he can get out and do some damage down the field with his legs. So I don't know if they're a top – how many teams make the playoffs? Seven in a conference? I don't know if they're a top seven team in the NFC, but I do think that they have a very good chance of getting into the playoffs, and they've surprised me this year.
And who knows – please let the Cowboys lose against the Raiders. Just to spice things up a bit.
I'm sorry. There's no division controversy here at all. I'm surprised you said that. You know,
if the Eagles win the division, you got to get a Jalen Hurts jersey.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not worried.
Okay, I wouldn't be worried either. But you got to give him a shot.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm surprised you said that because you last week you were all the Cowboys are going to beat the Chiefs.
The Cowboys suck. I'm done with them.
Your takeaway was good. Your take on the under hitting was fairly impressive though. So hats off to you. Steelers and Bengals coming up next. Another divisional game. If the Bengals win this, they sweep the Steelers on the season. I don't know. The Steelers are such a funny team. They nearly beat the Chargers a week ago, and I was thinking, wow, if these guys just beat the Lions, they'd be 7-3 right now instead of 5-4-1. This is a huge, huge game for them to keep pace in the wild card race and keep pace in that division.
I mean, I think people are – so on their defense, who is anybody back confirmed? Because were they missing five starters against the Chargers?
Yeah, and they were missing Minkah Fitzpatrick, Hayden, TJ Watt. Like, that's like the core guys.
I think people are – so if they can get a couple of those guys back, obviously I don't know who's coming back as of yet, but I think people are sleeping on the Steelers a bit. I think their offense has now moved into a place where they're better than everybody thought they were going to be. They should have beat the Lions. If Ben's playing, they 100% beat them. They're right there with the Chargers. Do the Chargers put up that many points if those starters are in the game? I see no way that happens, even though they have a good offense. I think the Bengals are good. I think this might be a road upset. Depending on how many starters they get back on their defense, I can see the Steelers winning this game.
I like the idea of that, especially because the Bengals won the first time out. And I think it's very rare for two teams that are pretty evenly matched. Let's be honest, the Bengals have impressed me this year. And the Steelers, a lot of people like to make fun of and put them down. But there's not a lot to split these two teams. They both have, you know, considerable talent in all areas of their roster. But, you know, the thing with the Steelers, and I know this is tough to poke at because the turnovers a week ago happened. But if you look at how they came back into that game, they were starting their drives from their opponent's 20 or 15 yard line. And even sometimes they made it look difficult to get into the end zone. The moment that they were backed up and had to go the distance of the field, they couldn't do it. The O-line caved. Ben was just inaccurate going down the field. And I don't know, I still have my doubts with what they do offensively. I think they're too Najee Harris. It's just everything goes through him. And when you have a player of his talents, I understand why, but I don't know. I'm still not 100% confident in what they do offensively to say that they're good enough to be in the playoffs in the AFC.
I mean, yeah, like, but you can make that argument about like, oh, they started on the 20. It's like, yeah, but they were missing starters. You can like,
yeah, I know that's
split
fair.
Hairs wherever. And it's like, it evens out at the end of the day, they were in it on the road. I mean, it was damn near a home game, actually.
Yeah, but you can't say on the road. Don't give me that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't on the road. It was on
neutral
a
neutral site.
Yeah, neutral site. I was about to say, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Upset, maybe.
All right, we'll go next up. This is the last 1 o'clock game, the Bucs and the Colts. This one's interesting. So the Colts, I think, are 8-0 when Jonathan Taylor rushes for over 100 yards in his career. This year, they're 6-0 when he does, 0-5 when he does not. So it's simple. You shut down Jonathan Taylor, you're going to win. The problem is, as of recent, it's been incredibly hard to do that. But the Bucs are one of the best teams at stopping the run in the NFL. So that's essentially the matchup that we're looking at.
That matchup alone is just going to be I don't know who to – so, I mean, obviously one team's going to get the better of each other in terms of that matchup, but my God, nobody can stop Jonathan Taylor right now. I guess if there is going to be a run defense that is going to stop it, it's going to be the Bucks. I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, is this – maybe it turns into a big game for Wentz and Pittman, just, like, get the passing game going more. They have to revert to that if the Buccaneers slow them down. But I don't know. The Colts – they just looked so good last week. Like, it's almost tough to just pick them, like, just because it's so fresh in my mind how good they looked. And the Bucks, they got back to their ways against the Giants for sure. Good to see Gronk back actually in the lineup there in the offense playing a role. I want to say the Bucks still win this game. I think I'm leaning that way. I think they get it done. Their defense, what it's Wentz. So is he going to do something stupid? You have to lean towards yes, he is. that line seems about right, that -3. I think the Bucks win this in a close one. I think it's a one possession game, but I think the Bucks pull it out.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, some one team is going to get the best of that matchup, Jonathan Taylor versus the run. Vita Vey for the Bucks didn't play last week against the Giants. I think if he's out, that makes me lean towards the Colts. I know it's just one player on the defense, but he makes a huge impact on games that he plays. I don't know. How long can Jonathan Taylor keep this up, though? And I do think right now he's the best running back in the NFL. I know Derrick Henry's injured, but right now, like, you can't argue against that. But it's a lot to ask to do that every single week. So we'll see. Like, to me, it's a tough remedy of winning, or sorry, recipe when you need your best player, Jonathan Taylor, to just go off every week.
Is he the number one pick in fantasy next year?
I would think so. I still think McCaffrey's the best player to have in fantasy, but he just gets hurt every year.
It's interesting. I was having the discussion yesterday about just what it'll look like, but that's for an off-season episode. But yeah, he's certainly, it's absurd what he's doing. Like, what is it? The last five, is it five games?
Where he's just been on, his, like, last eight games, he's had over 120 yards. Okay. And a touchdown in every game.
But the touchdowns have really, like, cranked up in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, 5-3. Like,
he had two, like, 2 weeks ago, I think. He might have had one last week, and then he obviously had, was five,
he had a
right?
couple weeks in a row with two touchdowns. It's crazy. And I was listening to a clip. The Colts are on that midseason hard knocks that no one really seems to care about. It's kind of weird. And the GM was speaking about how, like, they genuinely think every time he gets the ball in his hands, he can get in the end zone. And that's a special player to have. But nevertheless, we'll move on to, we missed this a week ago, the legendary staple in every slate of every NFL week. Games. The 405 Broncos are back. I, of course, won't be watching. I think they're a little bit more watchable this week because the Chargers are coming to town. And I'm going to say this uniform matchup of the week. It's right here. This is it.
Oh, interesting. I actually disagree, but fair enough.
I think orange Broncos jerseys is fantastic.
I love
their throwbacks are even better.
Yes, they are. Almost every team's throwback jerseys are better than their regular jerseys. I think it's just because we don't see them that often that it makes us think that. But no, I just love seeing the Broncos play it. I love seeing the option to click on the game. I never do, but I like seeing it just sitting there. It's like it's nice to see the Broncos playing. What is it? Chargers 2.5. Tough divisional game, I guess, but Broncos off a bye. Do you want to see Vic Fangio off a bye?
I don't think Broncos fans want to see Vic Fangio, period. So there's that. My favorite part about them playing at 405 is lately they've been the only team to do that, which means they dominate NFL airwaves for like a solid 20 minutes because they're the only game on, and still I'm not enticed. It's like a break. It's like, you know, the 1 o'clock will end at 4 and it's like I kind of have like 20 minutes to just sit down and relax before
take a break.
The storm starts again for the 425s.
And that's like 100% true this week because the 425s blow this game out of the water.
Yeah.
Also, I'll take the Chargers to win. I think the Broncos are just this average team. You don't know what you're going to get week to
exactly. I like it. I like the Chargers to keep going. All these AFC teams, they got to win every week if they want to have a chance for the wild card. But Vikings and 49ers, this is There's better teams that play each other this week, but I think this might be, dare I say, game of the week, because these two teams are fighting for a wild card spot in the NFC. And maybe I think both of them end up getting in, but it very well could not be the case. And we'll look back in January at this game and say that was the deciding factor. The 49ers are favorites despite a really, really good performance from the Vikings a week ago.
So obviously interesting wild card implications. Both these teams also are probably playing their best football right now.
Yeah.
It's the best we've seen the Niners look, the best we've seen the Vikings look. I mean, Justin Jefferson was incredible last week. Kirk Cousins in the 1 o'clock spot, better than Brady in primetime, damn near. Also, this potentially, I think this is my uniform matchup of the week. I like the Vikings and I like the 40. It's two good jerseys. Now, I don't think they can, but if they were wearing purple and red,
What I was talking about with the Chargers and Broncos. Like, but it just doesn't happen unless Thursday Night Football used to do that color rush, which was just a disaster for, you know, I read an article about how colorblind people were just struggling watching the games.
That's rough.
Interesting note.
You know what, though? Is it kind of a good thing that they didn't watch Thursday Night Football? Do you want to watch Thursday Night Football? It could be a blessing in disguise.
Players complain about Thursday Night Football. I don't care who plays. I know sometimes the games aren't great, but I love it just because it's like,
yeah,
you're almost at the end of the week. You're almost at Sunday. It's just like a, I don't know. I've grown accustomed to loving it.
You need that taste of football.
Exactly.
Yeah. Monday to Sunday is way too long. You start to lose your mind. I honestly think the 49ers keep it rolling, though. Brandon Ayuk, he's arrived, finally.
He's 11 weeks later than you expected.
Yes, but he's here, and this is what I expected.
Fair enough.
Looked phenomenal last week. Started him in fantasy. Thank you very much. What a call by me. I don't know. I think I talked about it this last week, but Kittle, what he does for that offense is just unbelievable. They look like a completely new team. I know the running backs are banged up, but Deebo Samuel happens to be a top five running back in the league, apparently. Just electric whenever he gets the ball. They're rolling. Kyle Shanahan's back.
He's back.
I think he's back.
I like it too.
And Jimmy G looking great.
Yeah, the whole, like, will Trey Lance play narrative, like, I think people forgot Trey Lance was even on the roster at this point. There's just been, like, everyone just is happy with what Jimmy's doing. He's not doing a whole lot, but he's helping them win games. He's not turning the ball over. Hand that ball off. Get it to Kittle. Get it to Deebo. Get it to, in recent weeks, Brandon Ayuk. So I do, like, it's hard to go against the 49ers right now with what I've seen, just how they've been able to dominate on the ground, and their defenses looked great. But at the same time, the matchup of Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen versus a 49ers secondary that is not very encouraging could be something that Kirk could exploit. And I don't know. I think this is going to be a really good game. Like, we got Rams and Packers up next, but I'm inclined to say Vikings 49ers is the game of the week.
This is flipping games 50-50. You have to try to watch both.
I know.
There should be a red zone where they just take the Broncos game out.
You know what I noticed about red zone the other week? I mean, it's called red zone. It goes to teams that are in the red zone, hence the name. But I think they should make a rule when a game goes to overtime, they exclusively show that game. Because when the Lions and Steelers went to overtime the other week, they were flipping away from it, and I was not happy.
So then why don't you just flip to the game?
I just figured that red zone would have me covered, but you make
it. It should be red zone OT.
Yes.
Okay. New name.
You send it into the NFL. Listen to me.
But 100%.
Rams and Packers. Packers coming off a loss. Rams coming off of two losses. It's in Green Bay. Of course, this is where the Rams season ended a year ago, but they were also playing with Jared Goff and not Matthew Stafford a year ago. So, an interesting game, two heavyweights in the NFC. Who knows? This could be a potential NFC conference championship matchup, maybe an NFC divisional round matchup, but these two teams are going to be playing for the Lombardi at some sort in the playoffs.
This is Matthew Stafford's house of horrors right there. Like, this is, he's against Rodgers in Green Bay. Well, against Rodgers anywhere, really. He's never been able to get it done.
But he's never had the team that he's had. Like the Rams haven't won now in nearly a month because they had a bye and they lost two games in prime.
Because they suck.
They need a couple weeks ago you said all the 49ers have to win. The Rams have to win tonight or Sunday afternoon at 4:25.
It's all Packers. I'm telling you, this is all Packers. All right. Simply because Stafford's going to look across. He's going to see Rodgers there. And he will fold. Okay. It is my personal guarantee. I've never been more confident in a game in my life. I've seen it happen. How many years did Stafford play for the Lions? 11?
I might threaten to take the Packers -1 so that you use your first overall pick on them. And then I get the Dolphins with mine. But
it's a good move.
We'll go on. Yeah, thank you. We'll go on to the Sunday nights. Browns and Ravens. Of course, this was the bathroom gate game a year ago. Yep. Is that what it's called?
Lamar that was Jackson. In Cleveland.
That was in Cleveland. Yeah, now they're in Baltimore. I just hope that game, it probably won't because that's a hard level to live up to, but that was the game of the year a year ago. So I hope this one delivers in some sort of similar fashion. The Browns are a mess right now, though. Like we thought, oh, OBJ's gone, the drama's gone. No, they're a mess. Like Baker's getting booed off. I'm sure he's happy it's a road game, honestly.
Yeah, tough to go up in front of that crowd again after playing like that against the Lions. Baker's clearly banged up. As long as Lamar's immune system can hold up this week, I think this is all Ravens. The Ravens are just a better team. What's the spread? 3.5? Maybe that almost seems like a trap. It seems like I don't know how the Browns keep pace with them at this point. What, you think the Browns are going to win?
I just think divisional games, everything goes out the window. Kareem Hunt could be back. Like the Browns are going to be able to run the ball. I'm not very impressed by the Ravens on the defense side of the ball.
Well, no, I think we associate the Ravens logo with
good defense, so we just assume that they have a good defense. But it's a middle of the pack.
Right, it's average. Yeah, fair enough. Still, a bit. Yeah, even if Hunt is back, they'll be able to run the ball. But I'm done with Baker. This guy's, I don't know what's going to happen. He's probably cost himself like millions and millions of dollars at this point playing the last couple of weeks. Give me the Ravens. I don't know about that spread. Maybe I'll pick it, but the Ravens, there's no way the Ravens lose this game at home.
All righty, moving on. Monday Night Football. Like, do we even bother? The Seahawks, we were all excited. Oh, Russell Wilson's back. They've been worse with him back. And I love Russell Wilson, but it's just like, maybe this is the spot where they get back on track. I'll leave it at that. But the fact that they're not favorites is kind of embarrassing.
I'd rather watch. So the Cardinals and Chiefs are on bye. I'd rather watch a Cardinals and Chiefs practice.
Oh, just them practice.
Just a nice scrimmage. No contact. Yeah. Just throwing the ball around. If this is a 1 o'clock game, I'm not watching a minute of it.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
Also, maybe the worst uniform matchup of the week.
Yeah, I could see it. The colors don't clash well.
No. Also, Washington really just has brutal uniforms.
Yeah, but they're going to rebrand, and it's going to be awesome when they announce a new name.
Is it? I think they should actually stick with
the football team's grown on me. Thank you.
I like it. I think they should stick with it.
I thought it was stupid at first, but it's grown on me and I like the logo. All right, that is the Thanksgiving episode. No draft this year, but
maybe we'll do a Christmas one. We'll do Christmas a Christmas draft.
Christmas promise. Draft, Christmas candy, Christmas ornaments, all that jazz. If you made it to the end, thank you for watching. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week and enjoy the games and enjoy the turkey tomorrow.
Take it easy, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody who celebrates.